won't see an increase in their bill. My bill, however, will substantially increase. I currently subscribe to monthly garbage collection, which is an option that will no longer be available as of October 31st if this ordinance is passed. I'm not sure if the gentleman who was in the pilot program who opted for monthly collection is aware that that option is going away. Looking at the options that would be available, the cheapest option would be for a 20-gallon can collected every other week. That option will cost me $6.35 more per month, or a total of $76.20 more per year. If I want a can that has wheels on it, that's going to cost $6.85 more per month, or $82.20 more per year. With that option, I also have to pay a delivery charge of $11.25 just to get the roll cart. Either one of those options assumes that I will be producing 8 more gallons of trash per month. The composting with yard debris, that's being promoted as a way to reduce trash, but apparently that's not considered if you currently have a monthly garbage service. A simple solution would be to retain the monthly garbage collection, but to switch recycling collection from weekly to every other week, which then would allow the yard debris composting to be collected weekly at no increase in rates. Thank you.
Thanks very much for your testimony. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Next three.
Next, Val Thorpe, Jerry Powell, and Carrie Olson.
Hi, welcome. Val, do you want to begin?
Sure. My name is Val Thorpe. I live in the Centennial Neighborhood Association in East County. Nobody said change was going to be easy. At my household, we had a little bit of a struggle in the beginning to remember to scrape our plates into the pail. I've been a member of the pilot project for a year, and after about a week, we kind of got it down and really didn't have any too much trouble. I've always been a composter of my garden materials, vegetable materials, but the bones and bread and pasta and rice and stuff was new to us. So once we kind of got used to that, we didn't have any issues whatsoever, and actually was extremely easy. And I can say that we could easily go to a monthly garbage service. We were weekly. Our garbage is picked up by Waste Management, and we're every other week right now. I could reduce the size of my can to a 20-gallon can and to once a month. The yard debris pickup every week has been great. I have a big yard, and I buy at least 15 yards of yard debris compost every year for my three properties, and I'm kind of excited that my two rental properties will have this opportunity as well to have the food scraps. And I highly endorse it. I think it's great, and I'm excited for the city to be a part of it. It's been very easy for our family.
Well, in your busy day, thanks for as well taking the time to share your actual experience with the pilot. We appreciate it.
Hi, my name is Carrie Olson. I'm a resident in the Richmond neighborhood and have also participated in the program for a year. We've always been pretty big recyclers. There's three adults and one teenager in our household, which produces a lot of waste just having the teenager. We rarely fill up our garbage can every other week. We would love to have the opportunity to have a once-a-month pickup as well. However, we have families on our block with 7 kids, and they have a little bit of a difficult time with the every other week. So our neighborhood has just sort of pitched in and said, hey, you know, bring over your excess, fill up our cans, we can make it work. And that's just how our neighborhood has approached it. I have a big garden as well, so I'm a huge composter. I probably didn't compost nearly as much prior to the pilot program as I do now. I put whatever I can into the yard debris waste bin. However, most of it goes into my garden composter. I think that has been sort of the experience in the neighborhood as well, is that through the education of all the information that has been given about the pilot program, many, many people have just started being more aware of what they can put in their garden, what they can't put in their garden. And I think that at least on our street, most people are backyard composting. We have lots of chickens in our neighborhood, so we also use this food compost for those. And I'm like, I'm very, very, very happy to have been a part of this program. It was absolutely no impact on our household other than being positive. I appreciate that my money is being spent on something that's more progressive and sustainable than the what wasn't being used for garbage pickup. So thank you.
Thank you again for sharing your actual experience as part of the pilot program.
Sure, appreciate it.
Sir.
My name is Jerry Powell. While I'm a resident of Northeast Portland, more importantly, it would be that I own a business in Southeast Portland. What do? I own 3 magazines in recycling. I have the only magazine in municipal recycling, and I have the largest conference in that business. I've been writing about this for 30 years. I've written about Olympia, and I'm looking forward. Now I'm doing some work looking at Ottawa, Canada. Canada's capital has gone to the system that you are looking at right here. In terms of that, they do work. It has been, as an Oregonian, a fifth-generation Oregonian, a little frustrating to have San Francisco. And Oakland has a better food scrap program than Portland. I won't go that's down
just,
that.
That's just hurtful. Hurtful words.
And I do think one of the issues the Oregonian and others have carried about odor is overstated. I put out my food scraps, my meat and chicken and everything else, weekly in my garbage. Now I'm going to put it out, as you guys did, weekly in my compost bin. It's the same odor. It's picking the residence time at my home is exactly the same. Incidentally, and as was discussed already with the monthly situation, many, many, many of us are on either every other week garbage or monthly. And so we're already doing the every other week. It works. It's probably a little problem with scheduling with the haulers, but it certainly works. And, Susan Anderson talked about change. Some of you, Commissioner Salzman can remember this, went through the largest change in this city was when we did the franchising, and we all testified here in City Council about asking the residents to take their cans that used to be picked up on the side yard, at the garage, by the back porch, and to move it to the curb. Testimony here was that's going to be the biggest disaster known to mankind, and it's never going to work. A month later, went away, and it worked. It is about change. This is a good change. And both as a business person here in Portland and a professional in the industry, as well as a Portlander, I urge you to adopt this plan. Thank you.
Thank you all very much for your testimony.
I'm just curious, Jerry. You mentioned that you've studied this. Mm-hmm. Are there other cities that have adopted this program that still allow monthly garbage pickup?
Boy, that's an excellent question. And within an hour, I'll get an email to you. I'll have to say personally, I was on the Solid Waste Advisory Committee when they had one for many years and everything else, I would probably be raising the monthly issue that some have raised. That might be a tweak to this excellent plan that might deserve some consideration. So I'll go with 95% support and then urge, because I will use a monthly, to answer your question on a personal basis, I would use a monthly now if offered, because I'm going to move my food scraps over to my cart. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate your testimony. Sue?
That's all signed up.
Okay, Susan, you and Bruce and team, you want to come back for council discussion? Who would like to begin? Commissioner Fish.
Mayor, I have a few questions, if I could.
Yep.
And these, in some respects, follow some of the testimony we heard. Susan, could you address the question of public process and the opportunity people have had to weigh in on this proposal?
Well, as the gentleman said, or a couple people here said, this proposal was already approved by council in 2007. There was a plan adopted. They didn't include all the people who are now on council, but just like any plan that then is implemented, it was approved in 2007, and we had an extensive process at that time, including an online survey, which more than 6,000 residents went online and provided responses to how they wanted the new garbage system to be set up. And overwhelmingly, they were in favor of going to a system that had every other week garbage and additional having every week food waste and yard debris pickup. So it was done then, and you all voted, not you necessarily all of you, but City Council voted on it at that time. And so at this point, what we're bringing forward is how to implement that.
Well, also, in, I can tell you, in just the 2.5 years I've been around, all of our outreach at all of the fairs and events, neighborhood meetings, there's since 07, the outreach didn't stop on this issue. We've had a lot in the intervening time as well.
I'm going to defer to Commissioner Leonard on the question of monthly garbage, because I think he's got some questions he wants to pick up on that. But question came up about who really bears any rate increase. Now, I think the figure that you gave us was that 80% of customers would see no rate increase. Can you tell us a little bit about the 20% that might?
Okay, so those folks are either in a 60 or 90-gallon roll cart. So a 90-gallon is 3 times the size of your average trash can. There are about 16%, I believe, in between those two. Hopefully some of them will actually be able to reduce the size of their cart, so they actually will not see the rate increase that is proposed. Some of them may have issues at how to get their size of the roll cart, you know, from going from a 60 or 90 down to a 32. We are prepared to go out and help them figure that out, because part of it is they're saying they can't do it, but they aren't recycling what they want, you know, what they could recycle. So for those folks, there would be about a $2 increase in the rate. And what they're getting for that is weekly yard debris and food waste pickup.
My final question, Susan, is we've noted that there are other cities that have already had an experience with this change. So we've done a pilot, and we've tested that, and now you're saying let's go to scale. Let's implement it. Is there something short of full-scale implementation that other cities have tried that's more of a gradual phase-in, or is the experience of these other cities that they've been able to manage a change of this kind?
I believe our pilot is the most extensive kind of pilot program that any city's done in terms of a year-long, 2,000 participants, well-documented. We've done a lot of research, market research, on who participated, family sizes, what went into that. So I really feel like we've studied this well, and any kind of interim step doesn't really seem very cost-effective to do.
I do have a couple questions.
Commissioner Leonard.
So it does strike me as somewhat counterintuitive. If we have monthly customers who arguably will have even less trash per month, to not be allowed the service. And then secondly, if we have customers, as the pilot program showed, who even on a biweekly basis are not filling their garbage cans, to eliminate the opportunity to have monthly garbage service. So can you explain the rationale of that to me?
Sure. We could go to monthly, but there will be an additional cost even for people who have monthly service now, because they are getting an additional service. They're going to get weekly yard debris and food pickup. So it would probably be $5 or $6 more a month. So we could do that, and you could direct us to have a monthly thing. We were trying to keep things pretty much rate neutral for most of the customers. I think it's sort of like the Water Bureau in one extent, in that the cost of delivering water isn't the water. It's the huge infrastructure in the system. And it's the same thing with garbage. It's picking up the garbage. It's the labor and all that. It's not the actual amount of garbage increasing or decreasing. And so,
but is the $5 or $6 per month increase cost to cover the cost of the system still less than what the woman testified to, who said her rate will go up?
It is a couple dollars less. The other option that people do have is to keep their monthly rate the same by having no garbage service, and then just when they need it, and it might be, you know, 5 times a year for some people, they can have and call and ask for a pickup of garbage on those, you know, just a couple times a year. If they do that, their monthly rate stays
right.
The same.
But I think even if it saves $2 or $3 net for a person,
sure,
to retain monthly service, my preference would be in this plan as we roll it out to have monthly service, because I think more people will find that they only need monthly garbage service. If mm-hmm. if the pilot program folds out citywide, as it indicated in the neighborhoods you did.
The other reason we went that way, it wasn't just to save money, is we heard clearly from the haulers that currently when you have monthly service, it's like the last Thursday or whatever your day is of the month. Well, we're doing every other week. It won't always be the last Thursday anymore. You know, there's sort of a confusion there. And so it does, especially for some of the haulers. It's
that would exist today.
Pardon?
For monthly service, that same phenomenon would exist.
No, today. They just pick the last week. They just pick the last. It doesn't matter if it's every other week or not, because the year isn't divided into every. There's 4.5 weeks in every, so every once in a while it would be off if we're doing every other week.
They're going around with the garbage truck anyway, so if you have monthly service, you have to remember to put it out for me on the first Monday of the month. Right. Otherwise, they don't. But my understanding from what you told me in my office was that you wouldn't have to call ahead of time if you did the on-call service, that you would just put it out on the appropriate day. Is that not the case?
You would have to call if it's not going out on the same day as everybody else's.
But if it was going out, if you could figure that out, which is always my challenge with the every other week yard debris, if you saw that everybody else's garbage can was out and you put yours out, would you still have to call ahead?
Likely, although we're still going to have to make sure that the haulers have that clear.
But I get
head
nods on, if I could, head nods on council. To prepare a monthly option?
Yes.
Well, okay. I'd like to follow up a little bit on that.
Go ahead.
So I support a monthly option. I guess I question whether the $6 a month increase is appropriate. I guess, isn't it a labor-saving option from the position of the haulers? Mm-hmm. Instead of picking up somebody's can twice a week, you're picking it up once a month. As you mentioned, it's kind of like water. The water's pretty much costless. It's the infrastructure, aren't we?
Right.
Aren't we reducing labor costs by having monthly versus twice a month?
We're trading off labor costs in that we're now picking up their yard debris and recycling every week. We could choose, and this would be something PERB would look at.
I'm just saying just the can with the garbage in it,
right,
is going from twice a month to once a month. Seems
right
to me there's, I guess, I just think about that because I just wonder whether the $6 is an appropriate increase. And then my last question really was, when people do, or if they do downsize from the 60 to 90 yard containers down to 30 or whatever, do they have to pay their hauler to get those smaller cans or smaller roll carts?
No.
Okay, so that's provided for free.
That was some incorrect information. There's not a delivery fee on something like that.
Okay, thanks.
So I did have another question, and I noticed in the picture it depicted the food waste going directly into the yard debris can, not in some container first. So there are a number of people who don't have weekly yard debris that will insulate the food scraps from sticking to the side of the container. Can people put the food scraps into a paper bag and then into the recycle can, or what are the rules in terms of actually depositing what is in there into the recyclable can?
So we plan to deliver a kitchen pail to every residential customer, and this could be used in the kitchen to store the material. They could dump it directly into the green cart. If they choose, they could seek a liner. Now, one way to do it is with just a sheet of newspaper. This is not today's editorial page, but just to,
that's outrageous.
There's also compostable plastic liners that are sold in stores that if customers want to bag it up, they could use something like this.
I was less talking about what goes in that than I am when you dump it in
okay
the bigger. So you could put the material in the green compostable bag that you have and drop that in.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
How about paper bags?
Paper craft bags would work just fine. And some of the things in the pilot, customers found that if they just put a sheet of newspaper on the bottom of their green cart, then it helped as kind of a liner, so when it gets dumped, that's compostable. It reduces some of the ick factor.
And that, you're right, we've kind of skipped over this part. Every household will be delivered, if approved, mid-October. That actually snapshot. It's the size of a plate. If you've ever bought one of these containers that are most available in the stores. They're narrower, and so there's the annoyance factor, and they're trying to scrape it into. So this is a lot more convenient.
So if you don't want the container, is it going to be a mechanism for giving it back to the company?
Yes, you can leave it out. We'll have that in the information that we hand out, that if you don't want it because you already have your own container, you're going to do it some other way, you can put it back out and the haulers will take it away in the following weeks.
Thank you. So I am somewhat concerned about some of the process issues, particularly with this coming on the agenda relatively late, even on the time certain agenda. Did any of the four pilot neighborhood associations give you a position? Did you ask the pilot neighborhood associations to have a position on yay or nay?
No, not at this time. We worked with them to talk about having people placed in the coalition, in a couple of the coalition offices, so that they could actually be out helping residents.
And I do appreciate that hiring of staff to be in the neighborhood offices to help with sorting and figuring out what goes in what. That's a nice piece of this. I'm a little concerned that the responses to the survey were not, there was only about 20% of the households that participated in giving us their feedback. So I would have liked to have seen more input from neighbors, and we're not voting on this week, we're voting on it next week. So I encourage citizens who, particularly those who were in the pilot program, to get in touch with me. I've had a lot of emails from folks who are concerned about this that weren't in the pilot program. So I'd like to hear from more who were. I've also heard from folks who are concerned about in-home care of elderly residents or relatives, particularly those with a lot of medical waste and adult diapers. Can we have some kind of hardship program for people in that situation who really cannot do with without hiring a greatly increased container for the every 2 weeks collection?
So folks that are in that situation, we can work on that in the administrative rules. I do think that we don't want medical waste in general. Much medical waste should not be going in, some of it anyway, in the garbage anyway.
Residential garbage.
Residential, right. And if it's larger than just someone having an elderly or other person living within their home, if it's actually a care facility, that obviously would be a commercial garbage collection. But yes, we can look at that as an opportunity.
I think if you've got both your elderly parents in diapers in your home, I think that would be a significant burden. And perhaps we could look at like the Water Bureau does with the low-income assistance or something like that, so that for those particular hardship cases, they would be helpful. How about availability of smaller composting containers for those without yards?
We have, haulers have availability of smaller green carts, and we look to distributing those to customers who can't make do with the larger 60-gallon. One of the cautionary notes we have is that we found people in the pilot really liked the weekly collection of yard debris, and so if someone were to maybe, I could use a small cart in the middle of winter, when it comes springtime, they'd want the big one. But we will make that available and work with people with limited yards.
Thank you. I had a phone call from a constituent yesterday who said that she lives on 82nd and her blue recycling bin, she had a note on it saying it wasn't full and they weren't going to empty it. Is that in our standards? And would that happen with yard debris if people just had a little bit of junk at the bottom of it? Would it not get collected?
That's kind of a surprising note. What we've left some notes behind with the haulers would leave a note would be if it's less than half full, it could really go, since weekly recycling is collected, it can go out the following week. We'd assume that it would.
You're talking about the blue cart.
The blue cart, right.
Because we're doing food scraps, it will be picked up and emptied. Misunderstanding the question.
Every week. I probably am. So okay, I
think regardless of whether it's full or not.
No matter how full.
Right.
How about the blue carts?
Yes,
blue.
And it should be now. And so if that note was left, and that's inappropriate, and we'd like to.
It's supposed to be an encouraging note. Just put it out when it's more than half full. It should
right.
not say we will not pick it up. That, and we'd be happy to follow up with the resident and with the hauler.
Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So I know that you're going to be working on administrative rules. Can you explain why the administrative rule notice came out before the council vote?
We have to do a 60-day notice, and we wanted to get this out and up and running in the fall before we got all of the leaves and the pumpkins and everything else coming. We thought it was a good time to get this going. So just in terms of timing, we had to put that notice out before the thing. Obviously, if this doesn't go, we don't do it.
Thank you.
So that's useful to should have thought of that before. In terms of giving folks a sense of what a 60-gallon can looks like, that is the existing green and blue carts?
Yes.
That is a 60-gallon can. Okay. The question that's been raised as well, and always appropriate question, is, you know, why subsidize garbage service? Why, you know, if the compost is for sale, you know, why don't we get the benefit of the costs or the proceeds from the sale of compost? Can you talk a little bit about that part of the issue?
We do, just like we do with recycling. Currently, if we did no recycling, our garbage bills would be about $2 or $3 more than what they are. So we put that into the rate. The amount of money that the haulers earn basically by selling the recyclables goes into the rate and a reduction of the rate. So similarly, when you tip the food waste, the tipping fee will be less than if you're tipping garbage, and that will be put into the rate, and that will go into so we do get, all of us get the benefit of
and
that.
Because this is a managed franchise monopoly on the residential side, we have access to confidential, but we're able to audit and look at books so that concerns about, you know, let's say the value of compost goes way up and suddenly there's a whole bunch of money rolling in for private haulers, we're able to keep track of that because we get access to look at their books, and then we're able to on an audit basis.
Right, and we've done that since we started the recycling programs. It'll be the exact same process in terms of the benefits to the haulers of the sale of the materials do get captured and then put into the rate.
So the other thing on the, just an observation as someone who's been involved with a lot of polling and recently had access to new polling, the 20% in terms of return rate in a neighborhood of 2,000. We do polling, our recent polling by the City of Portland, we actually pull a much smaller sample. So 20% is representative, we think adequately representative in terms of statistical validity. It has error rate, just to put that out there as an observation. And then also, it is rare that that we have had the opportunity or taken the opportunity. We did pre-sampling before anyone knew in these four areas, before anyone knew on these issues of satisfaction, before anyone knew that they were going to be part of the pilot. And then we did the after to be able to judge the difference in the neighborhoods. Is that an accurate summary?
Mary Ann?
Yeah, that's accurate.
Thank you. And then I've heard on conservative talk radio the whole leaf pickup and that comparison, which didn't go, you know, to my level of satisfaction, did not have initial surveying, did not have a pilot program, did not have the opportunity to be the second mouse and learn from the experience of other cities. You don't necessarily need to comment on that, but I would just sort of provide that comment as well. Unless there's additional discussion from council, I'm going to talk about the monthly piece.
I do have another thought that occurred to me after we discussed the monthly piece, and that was, is there not an option for people, it would be particularly, I would guess, single people, to have biweekly recyclable pickup if they don't generate enough for weekly pickup?
You can put it out every other week. We don't have another rate for that.
For that, okay.
Currently.
Okay. And then to Commissioner Saltzman's point on the monthly pickup in terms of the cost, in thinking, listen to that soliloquy, and then thinking through your observation, which is correct, that there's an infrastructure cost that has to be covered somehow. It's a matter of how you adjust those costs. As you may know, in some cities there are incentives to use less water, and as you use more water, the incremental charge per cubic foot increases. And I'm not sure that that doesn't make sense in this service as well, that we incent people to have monthly service by shifting those infrastructure costs more to those that have more frequent service, or not just frequent service, larger amounts of containers that are emptied biweekly.
Right, and so, we currently do that to some extent.
Well, I guess
the monthly thing, we actually do subsidize a small amount, and PERB has approved this in the past, where the mini cans, the 20-gallon cans that a lot of people have had, we actually have reduced the rate on those as an incentive,
okay,
you know, about 40, 50 cents, and tack that on to the folks.
I guess I'm asking you to take what you already understand is the rationale for doing that and apply that to the monthly pickup so there isn't the $3 to $6 impact that you discussed. And lastly, I'm just looking at where we, in this Mayor Adams' proposal, we would amend, I'm assuming it's Exhibit A on the single-family residential chart I'm looking at, that says service includes weekly collection of compost and recycling, every other week garbage, and then I've added and monthly garbage. I don't know if there's another place that you would amend that into the proposal to capture the council's intent. And then also,
make that a motion when you're ready.
If that's the right place.
Is there another place?
I think the actuation of it in the administrative rules, that gives us enough direction and authorization administrative rules.
But I'd also like the amendment to capture the discussion and what I think is the agreement that we won't shift increased costs to monthly garbage users, but rather have those costs transferred to more frequent users and of larger containers.
And we need to put that in, or that can be legislative intent that would show up in the rules?
So as I understand it right now, Commissioner, what you're asking is that rather than just having an amendment that adds a monthly charge or a monthly service, that you would also like the other aspects of the ordinance to reflect the option of a monthly service as well. So
correct. I'll
work with staff to make sure that that is reflected in the ordinance and the exhibit.
But as importantly, that the proportional cost for the monthly pickup be covered by those who use garbage service more frequently and use larger containers.
I assume that staff understands your desires, and it will be incumbent on them to make sure that you are satisfied when they come back next week, that they've followed that.
Right.
Just thinking ahead here, and that would provide another opportunity for public input, if we can apply an emergency because of the timing next week, and then that gives us time to work on the amendment, submit it, and have it submit it, get it out there earlier and have it submitted for consideration next week, or we can just we'll hold this agenda item and come back to it later in our agenda meeting. So I think we'll do that today. We will.
I need to say.
Let me just finish. Okay. So, Ben, I need you to be very circumspect that we can't, that the amendments proposed by Commissioner Leonard either could be done today so that they're just part of the second reading next week and a vote. And we could put this agenda item off till this afternoon so that we have time to make those amendments before we move it on to a second reading. So we can continue this hearing to the afternoon.
I'm actually satisfied that what I proposed here would work now and that the administrative rules would reflect the costs we discussed. So we don't.
Can I ask one point of clarification, which is, do you want the cost to be zero incremental cost? And all of the any additional costs
going to
that? I don't
want
to
get in and do your thinking for you on how to do this. What I don't want to do is create disincentives for people to use monthly service. And to the extent that you've already philosophically incorporated that into your rates, use that same rationale for the monthly rates.
I guess I just need to say that I'm comfortable with the idea of establishing monthly service. I am not comfortable without better understanding what the impact is on biweekly customers. So I'm not comfortable with saying those customers should bear the entire cost. So I just need to state that. I'd like to see some charge, maybe less than $6 a month to go to monthly, but I'm not comfortable with just saying roll that on to the biweekly.
So do we get those rates back to vote on separately, or is that inherent in what we're doing today?
Today's vote is on the rates. I'm not today's vote, but the follow-up vote is on the rates. So okay.
This is the rate ordinance. Okay. The council is establishing the rates. There does need to be an amendment so that the service is addressed and the rate for that service is provided for in the ordinance.
Well, again, my idea isn't that it necessarily be zero, but that there be an incentive to mm-hmm. do monthly pickup. So whatever that means.
So I do think, given all that, that we will pick this agenda item up in the afternoon, and that should give enough time for the rate folks, which includes some fiscal folks, to confer on actualize an amendment along the lines of this for council to consider, so that we're not going to close out this hearing, but just continue the hearing to this afternoon before we move it on to a second reading next week. All right, that's what we'll do. We'll pick this up again after the two items we have, right?
There are two time certains this afternoon.
So after the two time certains this afternoon. All right, that's what we'll do. So can you please read the title for the 10 o'clock, we're now 11 o'clock, so we need everyone to be very succinct. For the 10 o'clock time certain report, item number 831.
Appoint citizens Wilfred Pinfold, Ken Neubauer, Dave Lister, Ben Berry, and Doretta Schrock to the Technology Oversight Committee.
Commissioner Leonard, Commissioner Dan Saltzman, sorry.
Thank you, Mayor. I believe we have several members of the committee that we're appointing here today, two members. So I just want to say it's great that we're appointing our slate of Technology Oversight Committee members. I'd like to thank all the council for nominating your respective representative and believe we have a well-balanced group of volunteers. When council created the Technology Oversight Committee last spring, we all envisioned a smart, dedicated group of experts who would dig into more complex details of our large technology procurement and development projects. We have a great group of professionals, and I believe they are up to this task. As we know, all large organizations struggle with choosing and implementing different technology platforms for the myriad of applications needed in today's world. Our hope is that the Technology Oversight Committee's members, through your careful and thoughtful analysis, will provide an important check on the city's efforts to keep up with the march of time and all the technology choices that entails. I especially look forward to the quarterly reports that will now commence with the Technology Oversight Committee being appointed, quarterly reports to council, as this will be the best opportunity for the public and the council collectively to see what you've been digging into and the choices that our bureaus are making. So I want to call up Mark Grinke, who is the head of the Bureau of Technology Services. And why don't we go ahead and bring up Ben Berry and Dave Lister as well, the two of the five members that are here.
Good morning, Mayor, Council. My name is Mark Grinke. I'm the city's Chief Technology Officer. As you know, we recently adopted changes to city code and administrative rules. I'm pleased that Council has now identified.
Is Ken Neubauer here? Oh, yeah. Maybe we can pull up an extra chair. Sorry, Ken. Okay. Sorry, Mark.
Apologies. I'm pleased Council has identified appointees to serve on the committee. We look forward to convening our first meeting. I believe that's in middle of September, and to get them involved in technology oversight. And with that, I'd like to offer the opportunity for our committee members to say a few words.
My name is Ben Berry. I'm the CEO for Airship Technologies Group. Prior to that, 7 years as the CIO for ODOT. 6 years for the CTO for Providence Health Systems here in Oregon, 2 years with CIO for Multnomah County, and 2 years CIO for the Oregon Employment Department. It's my pleasure to be a part of the Technology Oversight Committee. I've done work on behalf of the city with the ERNIE Project, here a number of years ago. I think Ernie is still alive and well, and also as collaboration when I was CIO for the Employment Department and the City of Portland.
I'm Dave Lister. I'm the co-founder of Integrated Data Concepts, systems analysis and programming firm. And I want to first of all thank Commissioner Saltzman for the initiative. I want to thank Commissioner Leonard for my appointment and thank the council for adopting this committee. It's kind of ironic that I was originally politically activated by a City of Portland computer fiasco with water bills back in the year 2000 or so. And I had some discussions at the time with Commissioner Saltzman about the replacement system, and a young fellow by the name of Sam Adams, who at the time was Chief of Staff to Mayor Bearcats, actually came down to my office and took a look at what I call the consultative systems development process. And that meant a lot to me. And as you know, I've weighed in on technology and other issues over the years. I was a little bit conflicted by the appointment because my other hat, as you know, is an opinion columnist. And clearly I can't opine on matters that are being considered by this committee, and I won't. But I think if we do our job right, there won't be anything to write about anyway, and that'll be a good outcome. So again, I thank you.
You could slide the whole microphone thing down there.
Yeah, hello, my name is, Ken Neubauer. I have a long history of technology leadership in the Portland area, 17 years at Standard Insurance Company, managing several large IT projects. 5 years out at Sequent Computers in Beaverton. I'm proud to say I'm a Portland native, born and raised in Portland. Worked at several high-tech companies in the Bay Area, aerospace company and a computer company. And I look forward to serving the city I was born in. Thank you.
Questions?
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Does anyone wish to testify on this matter? All right. Sue, would you please call... is it a report? What is it? I need a motion to accept the report.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Sue, can you please call the vote on the motion to make the appointments?
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank you, all three of you, and Doretta Schrock and Williford Penfold, for serving on the Technology Oversight Committee. And don't ever hesitate to raise a red flag if something concerns you, and do know that even if the city chooses to proceed with a certain technology choice that you may not agree with, your input and cautionary comments will ultimately make the project more successful. So again, thank you for your willingness to serve, and I look forward to working with you throughout your tenure. Thank you. Aye.
Leonard.
I look forward to working with you. Thanks for serving. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for your service. This committee ensures that there's citizen oversight in every important technology project, and Commissioner Leonard is to be commended for his appointment of a citizen committee to look over the public safety system revitalization project, which we had a report on last fall, and the citizen input was really crucial, has been crucial, and will continue to be. So we really appreciate you dedicating your expertise and your outside eyes as well as your experience to helping us make sure that taxpayers' money is well spent in all of our technology projects. Aye.
Fish.
I was pleased to co-sponsor the underlying ordinance with Commissioner Saltzman, and as I've looked at the background of each of the people, we're really humbled that folks with this level of experience have agreed to serve the city in this very important role. I thank you all very much. And to Ken Neubauer, who is my representative, the person I nominated, for the benefit of my colleagues, he actually took over from Jim Blackwood over at the Standard. And for 17 years, Ken's been in a leadership position across the street. And we really thank you for signing up for this important work. Thanks to all of you. Aye.
Adams.
Well, thank you. A lot of work in a complex environment. We can and will do better, especially with your advice and input and the process put in place. I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman for his leadership and thank Mark Grinke and the OMF team for working with the commissioner to help make it happen. Aye. You are appointed. Go forth and do good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's see, that gets us to regular agenda. Authorized, so can you please read the title for emergency contract item number 855?
Authorize a contract with Carollo Engineers, Inc. for the pre-design and design of backup power generation facilities for a total not to exceed amount of $225,000.
One of my favorite people in your town. Hi, what are we looking at here?
Hi, I'm Valentine Hillman with the Office of Emergency Management.
My name is Tyler Wovena with the City of Hillsborough, and we're the manager of the Joint Water Commission.
We are hoping that council will authorize this contract. All the funding comes from a Homeland Security grant. Carollo Engineers was selected through a competitive solicitation process conducted under Portland City Code 568. The resulting contract contains 37.9% MWESB participation. The backup power facilities are for a water treatment plant and a pump station located in Hillsborough that is owned and operated by the Joint Water Commission.
Questions from the City Council? All right, this is a procurement report. Entertain a motion to accept.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
I've got to follow the rules. It's been moved and second. Does anyone wish to testify on item number 855? Sue, would you please call the vote on the motion to move? Sorry, it's just an ordinance. The next one is the procurement report. So, would you please call the vote on the emergency ordinance?
Salford.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Can you please read the title now? It's a procurement report for item number 856.
Accept bid of RNG Excavating, Inc. for the Columbia Boulevard Wastewater Treatment Plant Lagoon Reconstruction Phase 2 Project for $7,640,150.
Director Moody, what are we looking at here?
Christine Moody, Procurement Services. You have before you a procurement report recommending a contract award to RNG Excavating in the amount of $7,640,150. The city identified seven divisions of work for potential minority, women, and emerging small business subcontracting opportunities. Subcontracting participation on this project is 14.9%, and work is being performed in the areas of hauling, surveying, and instrumentation and controls. I'll turn this back over to council if there's any questions, and Scott Gibson and Bill Ryan are here from BES to answer any technical questions about the project.
Questions from council. Does anyone wish to testify on procurement report, council item 856? Now I will entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded to accept the report. Sue, can you please call the vote on the motion to accept?
Salzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
I appreciate the information that my staff was given, excuse me, about why the contract increase is over the estimate, and I believe that due diligence was done. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Approved. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance item number 857?
Authorize gas tax revenue bonds to finance transportation capital projects and to refinance outstanding gas tax revenue bonds.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. For the record, my name is Jonas Beery, the city's debt manager. This non-emergency ordinance authorizes issuance of gas tax revenue bonds to finance transportation projects. The bonds will be paid from and secured by gas tax revenues received by the city under agreements with the state and with Multnomah County. The bonds will have no legal claim on the general fund or on any other revenues of the city other than gas tax revenues. The primary objective of the bonds is to finance $15 million in gas tax eligible transportation projects. The bonds will mature over no more than 15 years, and annual debt service is expected to be under $2 million per year. The ordinance also authorizes refunding of approximately $1.4 million in outstanding gas tax revenue bonds if market conditions present such an opportunity. The city receives a portion of gas tax receipts that are collected by the state and a portion of gas tax that's imposed by the county. Combined gas tax revenues received by the city in fiscal 2010-11 amounted to approximately $51 million. Gas tax revenues are restricted to certain eligible uses, and the projects to be financed by these bonds conform to these usage requirements. We currently aim to sell the gas tax revenue bonds in October 2011. I'd be happy to answer questions. We also have Ron Giesen from Transportation if there's questions related to the projects.
Questions from council. Does anyone wish to testify on non-emergency ordinance item number 857? All right, moves to a second reading next week. Can you please read the title and call the vote on second reading, agenda item 858.
Authorize revenue bonds to replenish the Portland Parks and Recreation System Development Charge Fund. Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Thanks again to the council for supporting the package a couple of weeks ago that is going to allow the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation Museum project to go forward. And this, as we discussed before, is just a way of replenishing the SDC funds and moving forward with the financing that the council has approved. Aye.
Adams.
Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance, item number 859.
Amend contract with CMTS, Inc. to increase compensation for temporary construction management, inspection, and project support for combined sewer overflow program.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Madam President. The Bureau of Environmental Services contracts with CMTS to provide construction inspection services for sewer projects. The ordinance we're considering today would increase the amount of the contract with CMTS by $2.5 million. This will allow CMTS to continue providing construction inspection services through the startup and the closeout of the combined sewer overflow project, otherwise known as the Big Pipe. Bill Ryan, Chief Engineer, and Sue Williams, Engineering Services Business Operations Manager, are here to answer any questions.
Questions from council? This is a non-emergency, is that correct?
Yes.
It's non-emergency, moves to second reading.
Non-emergency.
Thank you. Mayor. So please read the title for item 860.
Grant a temporary revocable permit to Portland State University for electric vehicle supply equipment services and establish terms and conditions.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Madam President. Portland State University is seeking a temporary revocable permit to construct and operate electric car charging stations for 30 months. PSU is partnering with Portland General Electric, the City of Portland, and other organizations to create a temporary pilot and research program on Southwest Montgomery between Broadway and Southwest 6th called Electric Avenue. Electric Avenue will showcase a variety of charging stations from multiple vendors. PSU will gather information during the 30-month period on charging stations in the public right-of-way. This expectation is that this information will aid in future planning in Portland and electrifying more of our vehicle stock. Jennifer Lee from our Office of Cable and Franchise Management is here to answer any questions. Anybody has? Or did you want to say something, Jennifer?
No, I was just going to introduce myself. I'm Jennifer Lee from the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
And why is this under the Cable Communications and Franchise Management?
The expectation is that after this pilot program is complete, other companies will want to install electric vehicle charging stations in the right-of-way. So as far as generating revenue for the city, it's an opportunity to look to the future and to capture those revenues.
Other questions from council? I just have one more, and that is, are we losing revenue from parking meters as part of this project?
Parking meters, while the electricity for the charging stations will be donated to people who are charging their electric cars, they will still have to pay for parking on the street.
And given that we don't have an awful lot of electric cars, are we losing parking spaces because we're dedicating these to electric cars only?
I believe that there are currently going to be 10 parking spaces on the Electric Avenue, but...
I think I have somebody else who can answer that question. Thank you, Jennifer. Please identify yourself.
I'm Alex Bejarano, Officer of Bureau of Transportation. Your question was, would we lose parking revenue for the Electric Avenue? And the answer is no. Originally, there were 11 parking spots on Montgomery between 6th and Broadway. What we've done is we've identified 14 other parking places that were not currently metered spaces. So there were loading zones or temporary bus parking that was converted over to metered parking to offset that cost. So any revenue generated from this, although minimal at first because there is very few cars, electric vehicles, the cost of the revenue generated for electric revenue will remain neutral at best.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Did anybody want to testify on this?
We had one individual.
Thank you.
Good morning, Council. Veronica Bernier, PSU alumni in community health, education, and public health. How do you do? I can get this chair squared away, I'll be fine. I generally support the use at PSU of electric vehicles on campus, and I would support the charging station with just one proviso, and that is that there be posted signs, and this is serious, about speed limits for electric cars, because there's different age limits on campus. There's some seniors that are over 60, and sometimes the whizzing electric cars coming down the hill from Shattuck or Neuberger can gain speeds of 29 to 30 miles an hour. And if you put one of these LOLs in the middle of its path, you could see you could have a collision. So I would say and support the charging station, but not get supercharged or overcharged so that they speed down the hills. I'm for a Saints campus, too. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ms. Bernier. If there's no further questions, please call the roll.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Excuse me, Fritz.
No, you're all right, because I'm president right. At this point. It's hard to remember, so well done. Thank you to staff both in cable and transportation and indeed to Portland State for their interest in researching and trying this experiment. Aye. Please read the title for item 861.
Amend contract with Stettler Supply Company to increase compensation and scope of work for Columbia South Shore wellfield improvements.
Commissioner Land.
Director Schaff. Good morning. I'm David Schaff. I'm the administrator of the Water Bureau, and with me is Patrick Easley, the engineer in charge of our groundwater protection program. I know you're running late today, so I'll try and keep my remarks short. As you know, the Water Bureau operates a well field in northeast Portland that provides us potable water when our Bull Run source is not available to us. It has 27 production wells and a capacity of about 100 million gallons a day. As you also know, we got $1.3 million in ARRA money to do some rehabilitation of some of those wells. We were able to take 7 wells, pull them, and replace the mercury seals in those wells. And this is the contract that we used to do that. It's had 2 change orders, and we're here for the 3rd change order. When we pull one of these pumps and motors out of the ground, it costs about $40,000 just to pull it out, send it to the repair facility, have the technicians disassemble them, put them back together, and then put them back in the ground. So it's an expensive process. When we did that, we had 2 well pumps and motors, 16 and 18, that had a lot more work than needed to be done. They've been in the ground for 26 years, and they've not been inspected or repaired in those 26 years. So they had more work than we were originally anticipating they were going to need, and that's what this change order covers. In addition, we discovered that well number 17 was on the verge of failure, and I believe it did eventually fail. And so we've pulled well 17 as well and determined that as opposed to repairing well 17, the pump and motor, they have to be replaced, and that's covered under this change order as well. Now, the cost of that will not be covered under the ARRA funds because well 17 is not one of the wells that had one of the mercury seals that was the reason for the ARRA money. So all of these things, well, 16, 18, and then 17 are part of this final change order. And just so you know, the 5 of the 7 wells have been returned into production. The other 2 should be reinstalled this fall, and then well 17 should be installed this fall as well. So all of the work under this contract should be completed by January 2012. With that, I'd be glad to answer any questions. I would like to mention that I'm going to be on vacation next week when the second reading is. So if something comes up where you have questions, if you direct them to Commissioner Leonard's office, then he'll figure out who in the Water Bureau can answer them while I'm gone for next week's council vote.
Discussion from council.
I want to thank your staff for answering all my questions. I don't anticipate any more. I hope you have a great vacation.
Thank you.
All right. This moves to a second reading next week. Where does that get us?
862 second reading.
All right. Just an update before we move to 862.